All right, I think we're ready to rock.
Yeah. Oh, you drank too much.
You drank too much whiskey. Microphone had too much whiskey. Will it go down?
I think it's good.
Just rub it a couple times.
Get it back up.
Yeah, let it stay stiff.
Take your shirt off.
That'll make it go back down, Ted. All right, I think it's time to go.
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Metz. B-Tech Smith and Steve Metz, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
I'm going to spit that water one day, Steve.
You got to.
We've been talking about it for how many years now?
We
got
to do it. Like, maybe if we ever do a podcast on remote where we're somewhere where people are there.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the best way to start it.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
If we ever do a live or live to tape podcast, maybe at like a club.
All right.
I say you do it.
Just spit the water.
Just spit the water out.
Coming out,
man.
Like Triple H.
Yep. Like the Weekend Warrior, too, in 3-2-1 battle.
He all right, that. He's a water guy?
No, he does root beer. He's the Weekend Warrior.
I mean, it makes perfect sense, but it's still funny when you say it.
He's the best. Speaking of the Weekend Warrior, you can always see him at 3-2-1 this Friday. We're back at it.
Are you?
Yep. So this Friday night, 3-2-1 battle. If anyone can make it out to the Battle Palace, a.k.a. Evolve Fitness, it's right by our old building. It's right there, you know, by like REI and all that other crazy crap. By the Victory Lounge.
Right
behind the Victory Lounge. I'll be there as the commissioner, as always. And who knows what kind of insanity is going to happen at 3-2-1 battle. It's weird wrestling at its best. Honestly, everyone who's ever gone to weird wrestling, to 3-2-1 battle, and it's their first time, and I talk to them after the fact, they always say, I can't believe I haven't been to this sooner, man. This is awesome.
So, yeah.
So if anyone out there has nothing to do Friday night, 9 p.m., it's free with a suggested donation of $10. Don't be a cheap ass.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then what is everybody doing on Saturday, Steve?
Saturday, we're playing drums. You're singing.
Yeah,
there's
man.
There's aerialists. There's clowns. There's weird freaks. That's
there's
us.
The reckless freaks that we saw the other night.
Oh, my God, at the Belltown party.
Yes.
They're going to be there.
They're going to be at Red Festival.
Red Festival over at the Enum Claw Expo Center.
Yeah.
And that's just $15.
Yeah, man.
There's yeah.
I was going to say one to eight. I think if you buy the premium thing, you can get in at noon.
Nice.
Yeah, come drink some beers.
Hang
watch
out with
Steve
us.
Play drums.
Watch Ted rap and also sing Blur.
Yeah. And rap with a clown.
And you're going to rap with a clown. And you have not practiced for any of these things.
That is correct.
Which is even more awesome.
Well, I mean, I feel okay doing the songs. I've done them a couple times. But yeah. I am hoping. See, here's the deal. I was in an RV this weekend.
Yes.
At the Gorge. I did not make it back in time for practice.
Yes.
And then, right, they all practice. Well, I mean, Killjoy wasn't going to be a practice anyhow. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see how my set goes. But it'll be all right.
Oh, man, that's nuts.
I'm hoping to leave here in time so we can actually sound check.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm sorry, I just got a text, got me all confused.
Oh, no worries. I just want people to go Saturday. I'm just trying to tell them.
I just want to.
Yeah, the phone, like, trust me, dude, I had one of those texts today that's like, it's nothing super pertinent. You know what? I'll just get into it. Last couple days, I've been dealing with this issue with a couple different people. Where they kind of say stuff, like for instance, if I said, hey, Steve, can you do this for me? If you can't, it's no big deal.
Right.
And then you go, you know what, man? I don't feel comfortable doing it. I'm just going to say no on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I text you back and go, but what? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be harsh, but like, I'm trying, like, isn't there a polite way to kind of have some of these conversations? Or I dealt with this like a couple weeks ago too with somebody else, and it was like, I don't want to come out and just be mean and be right. Like, hey, this is the reason why. It's kind of, maybe I'm wrong. Seems like there's social cues people take.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people don't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want certain people to leave you the F alone.
Yeah. So, I mean, like these two situations I'm talking about, they're both kind of delicate. I'm friends with both these people. But it's just like, I mean, if you want to have that conversation, I guess we can.
Yeah.
I thought that was just the proper way of kind of going around it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to jump into whatever your text
no,
was.
No, I got you, man. I just sometimes you just wish you didn't have a phone, you know? And then you can just worry about these things when you have to deal and see that person when you see that person. But it's like they have instant access to annoy the living F out of you.
Yeah, I mean, mine's not that bad.
Oh, mine is.
Is it really?
It's all the time.
Oh, no. These are just two specific things that came up.
I mean, yeah, this person's the debatable friend. All right, so why don't we get in a good mood?
Let's do some push-ups.
Let's get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
I got this one for me, and I couldn't ask for a better time to do it. A little T-Swift, her new track. You don't like this, Ted?
Can we talk about her after we do these push-ups?
Yes.
All right.
We might have to wait for the Ted talk until the second break, then.
Yeah, all right.
All right, let's get Ted and Mega family and Ted. You don't like this song? It's like jams.
I just don't like Taylor Swift.
Why? She's hot. She's talented.
Well, that might be the first thing. Like, her build isn't right in my wheelhouse.
You're not into that skinny, tall.
Yeah, like, I just, like,
no curves.
Right, like, she's very attractive. Yeah. It's just not my taste.
Oh, here comes the best part.
Are you ready for it?
It's good production value.
Yeah, it sounds like a man farting on a microphone. So what's your issue? I love that we're having a conversation about Ted's issue with Taylor Swift.
She's always the victim.
Yeah.
It's just constant. And it's been like that, like, she's super talented. I get all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then she's always the victim. So then this album comes out, and it's still like, it's like, all right. Like, why are we still bringing up this stuff? Why, like, people don't like Kanye, that's fine, but, like, mm-hmm. It seems like you're freaking harping on it.
Oh, yeah.
You're still taking shots at him, and then you come out with this badass, like, new look, new Taylor Swift,
new
I'm
sound.
Badass. Right.
Yeah.
And then within, like, a week, I read her manager tweeting out, like, this isn't fair, she's getting backlash because she's a woman. Everybody else can say this and that. Like, you can't play the victim.
It's awesome.
You can't come out and be like,
she can.
I'm a badass now and this and that. Fine, if you want to talk ass, but you can't go, oh, wait a minute, I'm the victim again.
She's got us all in the palm of her hand, Ted. Oh. I still contend. I've had many conversations. I remember our dude John Moffitt and I one time had a long conversation about this, and I got him to get on my side, and I think, I don't know if he's still on my side, he might have changed his mind since then. I still believe that her and Kanye have been in on this the entire time.
Yeah,
since
like
day one.
I read something on Twitter too that's just like her and Kanye, and it's like at no point. Like, it seemed ridiculous when it happened, but at no point could you have told me this would affect both of their career trajectories or whatever.
Trajectory, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, she just annoys the crap out of me.
Maybe I'm just being a conspiracy theorist, but I would not be shocked if one day we find out that the two of them, before they both became these superstars, like, on top of the world, that they didn't sit down with each other. Maybe they had the same manager. Maybe they were friends. Maybe they had a mutual friend. I don't know what it is, but they decided, you're going to be the good girl, I'm going to be the bad guy, and it's going to work out really well for our career, and we start with the VMAs. All of a sudden, I had no idea who the F Taylor Swift was before the VMAs. After the VMAs, we were all talking about her. She had a huge album after the fact, including a song where, why do you got to be so mean to that guy? And ever since then, and he plays a great bad guy. In order to have a great good guy, you got to have a great bad guy. Vice versa. You know what I mean? Protagonist, antagonist. And the two of them have been kind of going at each other with each new phase of their career, and it hasn't hurt either one of them. People who love Kanye love the fact that he doesn't give an F, and he's saying that, I made this bitch famous. People who love Taylor, it's not hurting her either. Oh, poor Taylor, the victim. No matter what she does, she will always be Kanye's victim. And it's incredible. The two of them have had monster careers. I'm sorry. If I'm rich as F, I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm not putting out diss tracks on anyone. My songs are all going to be about how rich I am. And I went to Hawaii again.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I ate a bunch of ahi poke for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I can't. Man, I just had some ahi poke the other day. It was delicious.
Right?
Yes. I can't argue any of that, right? That's what I'm saying. She writes her own music. She writes her own songs, the lyrics. Like, yep. I give 100% full respect. She is that talented and this and that. I personally just don't like her. And I think sometimes, too, like, I just don't know that I buy it all.
Yeah.
It's always, everything's so awesome and squad. Plus, I feel like she ruined the word squad.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? And then it's just like, then every record is like, oh, victim again, victim. I'm just like, all right, like, and I get it. Other people do make breakup tracks and whatever, but it just seems like that's her MO every CD.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'm the victim again. Look what happened to me.
Well, you know that she's got to
save the pretty white princess.
That's right. Well, you know there's someone that's on her tail as far as becoming the new white princess.
Who's that?
Have you heard of Bad Baby?
Bad Baby.
B-H-A-D-B-H-A-B-I-E? Baby. She's apparently, so Taylor, of course, has like the number one song in the world. The All number right. two song on Spotify is a song called These Hoes, and it's spelled H-E-A-U-X, because that's clever.
Spell it again?
H-E-A-U-X, Hoes.
All right.
These Hoes. Number two song on Spotify. It's a big hit, and you do know who Bad Baby is.
All right.
It's the Cash Me Outside girl.
Oh, my God. Her song is number two.
Is now a pop star. Have you heard the song?
No. Oh, I try not to click any of the links on her just because I just don't want to help that.
Well, I helped.
Just, I mean, look.
This song will prove with a good producer, anybody can write a hit.
As soon as I heard it, I was just like, we're not helping. We listen to too much of this music. Damn producers.
You want to dance.
I listen to this, but I listen to Taylor.
These hoes be fake flossing. Fake as jewelry, got a neck rash. These hoes be fake balling.
How is this happening, Jen?
These hoes be big.
It sounds like a teenage boy that ain't hit puberty yet.
These hoes be full of drama.
It's Bad Baby, man. Show some respect with her hit song.
On the ground, they be fake flexing. These hoes, they wake up, they broke. They mattress is beyond the flow. These hoes, they wake up, they messy.
I mean, folks, look, I'm just going to cut to the quick on this one.
Uh-oh.
That girl is 15. We're talking about babies and probably a drug addiction, I'd say, by 18.
All right, wait, there's
I mean, she's just famous for being an obnoxious a-hole as a teenager.
Well, she's very proud of her hit.
I mean, she's someone who's been well-known for a long time.
Talk about Taylor.
And I am someone who is just getting into the music game. And it's kind of crazy how I could just be one below her.
And hey, look, she's right about that. I can't say nothing.
For the rest of the world of music, man. There are people grinding every day in studios, putting out good stuff, and this becomes a hit.
I mean,
oh, I missed the wrong song. You know what I mean. This song.
Zero time, that's what I give. I ain't like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one.
All right, time out.
Yeah.
So then the natural conversation, and granted, I'm part of this because yes. I like EDM and trap music and this and that.
Right.
Like, are we reaching the top of this? Like, does it go back down?
I feel like this is, for those that remember the old Happy Days jump the shark moment.
Yeah.
I think this might be the jump to shark moment for trap music.
It could be.
I think it could be. Because she just proved that she put out just as good of a song in the eyes of mainstream America because so many people were checking out. And granted, people are checking out because it's a train wreck that this girl is. But still, there's enough people checking it out to make it the number two song on Spotify. I don't know what you do at that point. I mean, if you're like, you know, was it Rage Murmur? Who's that group?
Oh, yeah. I always call him Ray Simone, but that's not right.
Do you just throw in the towel?
Black Beatles.
Yeah, do you just throw the towel and say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Right? If you're 21 Savage, you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's doing. Yeah, I don't know, because I really like a lot of that trap music, but God damn, she just used the formula to a T.
Right. Like, she just pulled like a South Park trick.
Yeah.
Like, here, we're going to show you how to write a hit song.
Money green like a C-Low.
Right?
Yeah, my pocket's so swollen.
I mean, she did spend time writing some great song lyrics. I mean, look at these hoes be fake flossing, fake ass jewelry, got a neck rash. These hoes be fake balling, tax money. Why does she have to worry about tax money?
She's a baller now, dude.
She's making more money than us, man. That's the scary part.
You know she is.
Oh, there's no question of that.
And I'm sure that money be taken care of safely by her family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen her mom. Her mom's very responsible. And
yeah.
I'm sure that, you know, it'll go to her college trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
And into some smart financial decisions will be made.
I mean, look, they might load up her meal card with a few extra meals. But other than that, I'm sure this will all be fiscal responsible stuff.
Yeah, so she'll keep it humble. All right, when we get back, we'll do our TED Talk. And also, we'll find out why what happens when a wrestler is in the ring in the WWE and his zipper is down.
All right.
It's awesome. And the Megacast will talk about it when we return.
They are not reverends on the radio. They are awesome dudes on a podcast. The Megacast will be back.
The 10th anniversary iPhone will cost you at least $1,000. Rounded edges, more waterproof, iris recognition, and more. The new iPhone can make gourmet sushi. It can remove warts. The new iPhone smells like peppermint. It can change a flat tire in the rain. The new iPhone can teach your dog to sit, roll over, and hump your neighbor's cat. It can be used as a flotation device. The new iPhone can fold your laundry. It can taunt your ex. The iPhone 8. Yeah, it's expensive, but you'll buy it, sucka.
First there is fake news. Now there is fake love.
Yeah.
What the f***? Thankfully Ted and Steve are two real mother f***s.
Yeah.
The Megacast is back.
I've been down so long it look like thug to me. They look thug to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face.
Right. You know what? Steve, I'm not sure of a lot of things anymore these days. Because I'm like, well, that song's really good. But like, is that much different? You know what? You know what? Let me just say this about Taylor Swift. I'm an old ass. All right, how about that? Do you guys love her or whatever? I'll just not like her. Damn.
Sorry. Wrong button. Just kidding.
You know what the worst thing is about that song? That's the first time I've heard that Taylor Swift song.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like the beginning of a Go-Go song. I thought you were going to put on a Go-Go song.
No crap.
Yeah.
Like Go-Go's Our Lips Are Sealed? Or are you talking about the Go-Go sound from DC?
Let's just Google real quick Go-Go Music Sardines.
Okay.
Can you play it out?
G-O-G-O.
Yeah. G-O/G-O.
Sardines?
Yeah. It's a backyard band or junkyard band.
I don't know if it's going to pull up, but we'll see. No recent matches. Is it? Let's see. Wait. What was that all about? Oh, the Hot Sardines? Let's go.
Try Junkyard Band. God damn it. Sorry. I'm ruining the podcast now, but I'm telling you.
I did with that. No, you know.
The beginning of this Go-Go song from like 20 some years ago starts the same way that Taylor Swift song does.
Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Hey, and Paul KB.
It's the reunion.
Hey,
and
Paul KB.
I like this.
Yeah.
I've never heard this.
You never heard this?
Isn't this like DC sound?
Yeah. This is like the live version, but the studio version, I'm telling you.
I like how you and I are now just dancing here. We're going to take a break from the podcast, and we're just going to dance.
Hey.
All right, well, why don't we get into our TED Talk before we forget?
All right.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
See? That was the sound I was talking about.
Yep. I like how you have it on your...
I've listened to it a few times.
Yeah, that first then she goes a different octave after that, but that first start is like
that's almost like it's Steve playing go-go. They're like, no, it's Taylor Swift. I'm like, my heart just got crushed.
That could also hurt a little bit. Yeah, either I'm playing go-go, I'm playing Taylor Swift, or I might have had some pork and beans last night. I'm not sure which one was going on right there.
Hey, pork and beans. I'm getting people more into go-go. I'll start playing that for us.
All right, yeah, I want to check those guys out. I like it so far.
Yeah, Junkyard Backyard Band. Little hint, if you're ever looking for stuff. Rare Essence is also pretty good. All right, I'm going to stop.
What has happened to us? We're off the rails, man.
I don't know.
Maybe we just never talk about Taylor Swift again. I think it's Taylor Swift's fault.
She got me worked up.
Yeah, and she's now going to put out a statement saying, oh, the mega cast, they just clearly hate women.
Well, and it's so funny because...
And we don't. We have mega babes.
No, and with that said, one thing I do like about Taylor Swift, because I think that idiot did touch her butt, I like that she sued him just for a dollar to prove that he... And I was like, now that I respect.
And how about in the music video, which you probably haven't watched because you don't like her, but in the music video, she's got all these images and like symbolisms of things from the past, like a bunch of Easter eggs throughout the video. And at one point, she's sitting on like this throne, and right behind her is just a dollar bill taped to the throne. And a lot of people believe that was a nod to the legal drama between her and that idiot DJ.
Yeah. I did think it was funny, all the cameos she had in that one video.
Yeah.
Like, some of those people, like, have you seen the swinging arms guy?
Yes.
I mean, that's all he does. But I'd only ever saw that on World Star Hip Hop. I'm getting way off track here, Steve.
Yeah, you are, man. What the hell,
Let's
man?
Do it. Let's restart it.
Yeah, that's okay. Do over.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
All right, real quick, two sentences. Be your truth.
Don't just say the words.
Actions speak louder than words.
All right.
Three sentences.
I like it, man.
Yeah.
I like that it took us about 20 minutes to get to that.
Now, look, I'm guilty of this. We all are. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you meet some people and they're just very insistent on... I'm trying to think... You know, when you go to as many festivals and stuff as I do, you hang out in that scene, you meet a lot of people that talk about peace and spirituality and this and that. But then you notice sometimes, like, with their own relationships when they go bad or something, it's like, but that doesn't seem that peaceful or spiritual. So I've seen this a few, and then sometimes at work too, at work or even in your family, right? I have people in my family I have this conversation with where it's like, look, you're saying the right thing, but every time you see you, the actions are the same. So like, sorry. Like, nothing changes for me. And that's one thing, you know, whether it's good or bad, that's one thing about my personality. You're pretty much always going to get the straight shooter because, like, I'm going to do what I say.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of why I enjoy being your friend.
Yeah.
Is that I know that you're just going to be unapologetically yourself. That's part of why I also, you know, Munson's one of my closest friends, too. I know where I stand. I know where he is as a human being. And that's awesome. Jay, you know, all the people who I'm closest to are just who they are and don't throw out a bunch of lame ass, you know, hyperbole and then all of a sudden they're doing something else.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I used the term properly. I sure hope I did. Otherwise, I deserve a... it's funny you say that because there's a guy on Twitter that I know.
All right.
And he's all about positivity, which is good.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Preaching the good word of positivity. I think now more than ever, for many reasons, we all need that. Not to the point where it gets to be like new agey, hippy dippy kind of like, you know, hey, man, just hug, you know, like, hey, have a better attitude. So he's all about that. And I think it's awesome. But then when he's not talking about that on Twitter, he's complaining about businesses that did him wrong.
Oh, really?
All the time. Let's just say a restaurant doesn't have a table ready for him. He's on Twitter tagging them. I can't believe it.
Are you serious?
A rental car did something, didn't have it, or the right car for him. I'm so mad. And it's like, dude. And not to the point where I don't know him all that well, but I almost wanted to send him a direct message to be like, my man. For a guy who's always talking about being positive, when you're not talking about being positive, you're the most negative person I know on Twitter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's really weird, man. So I'm with you. You can't say it and act like this is the way, this is the gospel, but then you act a whole different way when you're not preaching the good word of the gospel. It doesn't work that way. No one's going to see right through that and think that you're a phony, even if you're not. And I don't think the guy is a phony. I think for the most part, he does want to be a positive person. But he doesn't know how to rein it in when things aren't going well. And things are not always going to go well. And if it doesn't go well, you don't have to go on Twitter and tag the company all the time. Maybe you can handle it offline and have a conversation with them.
Yeah, and sometimes, man, just that simple aggression, if you just take a breath and go, okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we waited for a minute, but let's...
That's funny.
Let's calm down. It's not that big of a deal. We had to wait for a table.
Our pastor just recently did one a couple weeks ago at church. He was, I feel bad. I can't properly articulate what he said. And he even goofed on the whole church because last week he said, hey, do you guys remember what I said the week before? And everyone's like, bah. I was like, it's something about being angry. I know that. That's about it. He's like, well, apparently I didn't do a good enough job. But the whole moral was, when you're angry, more often than not, we just want to fly off the handle right away. You got to just kind of take a moment, say, is it worth flying off the handle for? And he had a way better way of saying it. But in a nutshell, you're mad, you're upset, the rental company screwed you over, but is it really worth getting mad about, or can you just kind of pull back and be like, do I want to be this person all because of this one instance? And that's really what I think was a valuable thing to walk away from.
Yeah. Well, it's just the truth, man. Like, I don't know, like stuff's going to get you down. That's like it's life. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like fortunately or unfortunately, most of it's lived in the gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't black and white. Yeah, I had somebody email me and go, well, you've been single for a while. Like, you seem happy. Like, what is the secret? I'm so miserable. And then the email he goes into, like, hey, I just broke up with a girl of 4 years, 2 months ago.
Well, you're not going to be happy.
Brother, like, listen, you know, like, and trust me, being single, like, yeah, I'm fine with it. But it's like, there's still a lot of lonely times.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, Sunday night sucks sometimes. Or like, you know what the last one was? 4th of July. 4th of July sucked. I couldn't, you know, I didn't have time to fly back east and hang out with my family. And it's just kind of a family holiday. So it's just like, yeah, like, I was like, dude, take a breath, relax. You just got out of a 4-year relationship two months ago. Like, you have a process to go through before you're going to be happy.
Yes. Again. Yeah. It's going to take a couple months before that. I mean, my only advice, drink heavily. No, of course not.
Just get drunk. Don't sweat it.
Help me in my last breakup.
But I just live by it. Me and my brother talk about that all the time. Just actions speak louder than words.
And it's always important when you are delivering those words to make sure that your zipper is up. See that segue?
Smooth
like butter.
Yeah,
so you watching the WWE these days?
No.
Oh, man, JBL's gone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should start watching SmackDown again.
SmackDown is awesome.
How did what happened?
I wonder. On the spin is, and maybe I'm overthinking things, because apparently he doesn't do a lot of charitable stuff, and he works with at-risk youth, and
All right.
He decided, I guess, his charity is growing, and he wants to focus more on his charity and
All
just
right.
do that. Seems like, okay, I mean, I hope that's true, but, you know, there's part of me in the back of my head saying, is that the spin, but they kind of were finally done with him? Maybe want to say, hey, we want to kind of distance ourselves from this guy. For all I know, maybe they want to bring Moro back into... I know Moro's doing NXT, but, you know, and he's killing it on NXT. But, you know, I mean, after that McGregor-Mayweather fight, I mean, there is not a hotter announcer in the world than Moro Ranallo.
Yeah, and look, I get WWE works a certain way.
Yeah.
But I honestly think they just misplayed that hand.
Oh, they did.
Like, they did not realize the following Moro had and this and that. Like, sorry, I know JBL's been your guy for years, but on this one, like...
You could have found a way to keep both happy. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I really do believe that. There's enough content with how everything works. You could have moved things around to make both parties happy, but that didn't happen. But fortunately, you know, Moro's back. But the best part about SmackDown now is replacing him, Corey Graves.
Oh, yeah.
Corey, on my last Migs versus the World of Wrestling, I replayed my interview with Corey Graves, and I went into a little bit of a little rant, not really a rant, but just like a little monologue about how I miss him on SmackDown because I love the dynamic between him and Byron Saxton. Byron played a great... Aw, shucks, good guy.
Yeah, and I always liked him.
Yeah, and the two of them, from even in the interview I did with Corey, they're good friends. But on television, Corey is just constantly ribbing Byron Saxton, just giving him a hard time, you know, just picking on him.
Yeah.
But and Byron's character plays it off well. It's a good yin and yang, and I missed that when Corey went to Raw. Now he's back. All is good in the world again, man. You can watch SmackDown.
All right. Yeah, and when Corey messes with them,
it's
I don't know.
Funny.
It seems more professional. Like, sorry, JBL, like, came off as a true a-hole. And then when you heard the stories, it's like, all right, he's not really acting. He just might be an a-hole.
Right. The people who he gets along with love him. The people who don't are terrified of him.
Yeah, and for a guy like JB, like, look, I said this years ago with some random thought I came up with walking to work one day, and some people kind of laughed at me. But I swear to God, you can't build a legacy if you're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
You could donate all the money you want in the world. If you weren't a nice person, your legacy is going to be you weren't a nice person.
Right. And you see that within the world of radio sometimes. There's some real colossal douchebags in the world of radio, and they do, yeah, and they do a lot for charity. And
sure.
And you're just like, but that doesn't make up for the fact that you're a colossal douchebag. I think it's awesome that you've raised the money for kids, but you're still a dick.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Right.
Just accept it. But Monday Night Raw, you know, there's a big, we've talked about it off the air, but there's a big battle of the world between the world of John Cena and the world of Roman Reigns. The two of them jawing at each other in the ring. A lot of people are talking about their promos, and they're actually been really entertaining, and they're building a good story arc to their match that's going to happen in a few weeks. Well, on Monday, the two of them are going at it, and apparently Roman's fly was down. I didn't notice it, but John Cena did.
Nice.
And this is both of them had great lines, and I got to say, Roman handled it really well.
Because you're a lion. Fake-ass little bitch.
Okay, so he's telling John Cena some nice things right now.
Yeah, because I came into work like last week, and I was like, hey, man, I'm reading online that their promo won. Like, the fourth wall or whatever?
Yeah, they broke the fourth wall.
Yeah.
There were moments where I feel like they absolutely did, but I don't think people are, I think that's when wrestling's great, when we're talking whether or not, we don't know whether or not it's true or not. That's when wrestling is at its best, when you don't know if they actually do hate each other.
And it doesn't make sense that those two guys would hate each other, so they both seem like decent dudes.
Right. We've had Roman Reigns is one of the coolest guys I've ever met in the world of wrestling. The other one, who also seems to get a hard time from the internet wrestling fan base, is Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin is my favorite WWE superstar. Not my favorite wrestler, like watching on TV. I find him entertaining. I know some people give him a hard time. But as far as the people I've met over the years, without a doubt, he's my favorite.
All right.
He's just a cool dude. Like, you would love him.
All right.
He's just a chill guy. But, you know, because he's not on par with Shinsuke Nakamura, and who is, people hate on him. Okay, here we go. So this is the moment where John Cena delivers an epic moment on WWE's Monday Night Raw.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Debbie Downer to Monday Night Raw. Roman, I'd say I'm happy to see you, but I'm disgusted by your whole face. For gosh sake, you come out here with your zipper open.
He doesn't know.
I busted it, actually. Big dog.
I was just looking for your balls, but you ain't got none, so it's okay.
You would be looking for those.
Damn.
I don't think that was scripted. And if it was, whoever wrote it was a genius.
Yeah, now that I hear it, it sounds awesome. I bet they just are buddies and just said, hell with it. Just be ruthless.
Right, F the script. Let's just go for the jugular.
Right, because, I mean, even me and you, right? As tight as we are as friends, if we went out there one night, we're just like, all right, just go for it.
Yeah.
Like, you could be ruthless, because we both know each other very well.
Right. We could cut deep.
Yeah.
And the beauty of, if you are close enough, you could do that. And it's not going to, we would, as soon as we were done cutting each other deep, we'd be at the bar taking a shot of Fireball, saying, that was awesome. Did you hear the crowd? That was fantastic. I thought Roman's comeback right at the end was awesome. Let's see if I can pull that up. Well, actually, his part where he says he has a big schlong is pretty good.
Roman, I'd say I'm happy to see you, but I'm disgusted by your whole face. For gosh sake, you come out here with your zipper open.
Like, how do you not crack up at that moment? I would crack the F up.
What was his reaction? Did he just look down?
He had like that smile like, oh, yeah, I guess, like, it is.
Oh, you got me.
Son of a bitch.
I busted it, actually. Big dog.
That is such a great line. I busted it, actually. Big dog.
Referred to his tongue as a big dog. That's a D-A-W-G.
Is he referred to as junk, or is he just saying, I'm a big dog, so my big old D bust up?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was just looking for your balls, but you ain't got none, so it's okay.
Damn.
You would be looking for those.
All right, why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
Ted, I got something very exciting to share with you.
All right.
You know, we've been big into the world of Angel the Grapefruit Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently there is a mega, mega A-list celebrity.
Oh, I know who it is.
Well, then it's not worth teasing.
Come on, man. He's in my family.
Who? Oh, Will.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're into it. When the Megacast returns.
These guys smell like dirt and roses. And I find that sexy. The Megacast will be back.
So summer's finally over for your kids. They're going back to school. And maybe you're experiencing a little withdrawal. Well, here are some tips to help you maintain a normal life once the kids are gone. First, walk around the house dropping clothes all over the floor. Second, leave a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink and scream,
"Who left all these dirty dishes in the sink?"
Third, whenever you're not getting something done, just say out loud,
"I'm going to count to three. One, two."
And finally, when your husband keeps trying, just say,
"Stop touching me. I'm too tired."
Oh, wait. Never mind. That's all the time.
Boss and I've been in Trillis. I'm a bigger problem when I click with Sprillis. Murder on my mind, it's time to pray to God. My revolver's not religious, the revolution's born. You wanna know my name, then go and tell us all. You wanna know my game, Suicide Squad. Pistol on my waist, I might make a mistake. Dead shot, oh my God, am I crazy? Drugs every corner, this is Gotham City. Killer cop, came to kidnap you, to take out your kidney. Forgive me for my wrongs, I have just begun.
Holy shit, what the fuck is this? I fucking love this track. This is fire. The Megacast is back.
That purple Lamborghini lurking. Got that purple Lamborghini lurking. Rosé!
Skrillex, Rick Ross.
Forgive me for my wrongs, I have just begun.
I can listen to any song by Rick Ross. In fact, I've been listening to his new record. I don't even care if he's rapping over children's music, man. The guy's voice just always gets me amped.
Yeah, and he said it one time in an interview, and now I do it all the time. People go, somebody the other day was like, "What's your favorite chicken wings?" "Lemon pepper, all flats."
What does all flats mean?
Just the, like, I saw him order wings once at one of his wing stops, and he literally, just the flat ones, not the drummies.
Oh.
So he was like, "Lemon pepper, all flats."
They call them flats?
Yeah, and then he was talking about how when he's driving, he can just take the flat and eat it and, like, put it down.
I'm with him. The flats are dominant.
I mean, it's cool to say, look, I like the flats better, but honestly, I don't give a crap.
No.
Put a chicken wing in front of me, right. I'm going
to
eat it.
If I got to put the perfect ratio of flats, as now I say it, to drummies, as Ted would say, I would go 80% flats, 20% drummies.
I mean, I never thought of it. I'm 50-50, man. I don't know. Just give me an order of chicken wings.
I understand that. I'm not going to be like, send them back. I got 30% more drummies than I wanted. This is what I call on this episode, drummies and flats, man.
Have you never been in this conversation with somebody?
No.
Oh, my God. There is people in my family that will only eat the flats.
Really?
Yes.
They are fun because you just put them in your mouth and just scrape it all out.
Yeah.
Like, or you break them open like a sexy woman. I'm going right down into that chicken.
Gnawing on that little tendon. Yeah, I know a bunch of people that are like that, that will only eat the flats.
Really?
Yeah. And like, I honestly, like, you've never run into chicks that are like that?
No.
Yeah.
Most chicks I know, they just go with the boneless wings.
God damn it.
You know what they are. Nuggets.
Yeah. Nuggets. Tenders. That's which are delicious.
Right.
But you are not eating a boneless chicken wing.
No. Here's a question.
Just give it. Steve, this cast has gone off the rails. Just give it to me, man.
How do they make it so that certain watermelons are seedless and other ones aren't?
Oh, man, you're getting the science. I don't know.
I was just thinking about that last night.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I've seen one with seeds in a while.
No, they kind of have now, like, they're extinct.
That used to be the thing. You ate watermelon, you spit seeds.
Maybe you get one or two seeds in there.
Yeah.
Or you get those white ones, which I don't count as seeds.
Yeah.
They're just like, whatever. It's like, done. Gone. But what happened?
I don't know.
And then how do you make more?
I don't know, man. And watermelon farming's tough to do.
I would imagine.
Those things are heavy.
When I was a kid, I was afraid. I swallowed a couple seeds.
That you were going to grow a watermelon?
I started growing a watermelon in my stomach. I started crying to my mom, and I think that's when my mom realized that she had a special son.
I know. Trust me. I fell for that, too. I feel like everybody in my family would be like, if you swallow a seed, you're going to grow a watermelon.
I was like militant about it. I would have like a knife, and I would carve out all the seeds. Like, in order to eat one slice of watermelon, that was like a 20-minute process.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. Don't get me wrong.
You ever freeze it?
No.
Man, cut up some watermelon, throw it in the freezer, and
But I like my watermelon lukewarm.
Oh, all right. Don't freeze it, Steve. You ever salted it?
No.
I just throw a little pinch of salt all there.
Really?
Like a little salt bay? Just a little salt bay. Dude, I was watching Wong's World the other day on Viceland. Yeah. And he was over there, like, in Dubai or the United Arab Emirates or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he went to that dude's restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you how excited I got. I was like, and I was talking to
him. Is it the last episode?
It might. I mean, whatever one, he was over there.
Uh-huh.
But we were planning the weekend or so. Anyhow, Taryn got off work. I'm watching the show at, like, 10:30. So she gives me a call. And I was like, Taryn. She's like, what? And I'm like, Eddie Wong is at Salt Bay's restaurant. I don't know why. I still get really excited about Salt Bay. You know my nickname? Old Bay Bay.
Oh, Bay Bay. Dude, so we're playing Rick Ross with Skrillex right there.
Right.
Skrillex, I don't know if he should have been talking after Burning Man. It just happened.
And I saw Skrillex at Burning Man when I went.
God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I saw him and Diplo.
See, and apparently that's his thing. He loves going to Burning Man. Who wouldn't? From the stories I hear, it sounds like a fantastic time. Except for one guy who decides, I would imagine under the influence of something, to throw himself into the fire and dies.
Yeah. Something's weird with that story.
How so?
I mean, I don't doubt that they'll, because they already said, like, he wasn't drunk. They could figure out booze right away.
So okay.
I wouldn't be shocked if there obviously is a drug in his system. But
what drug do you think would lead him to do that? Like bath salts? I mean, what acid?
I mean, I guess if you had a bad acid trip, that could happen. I mean, I think if you were, I don't know. And that's the other thing, too, that people forget about with hallucinogens is, for the most part, most people that take them are going to be okay. But there's some people that just already have a, what do you call it, like a predisposition.
Okay.
To kind of maybe have a little insanity. And I think those drugs would push you towards there.
I can see what you mean.
But it's just
it's like steroids. I remember watching a documentary on steroids. It was like bigger, harder, faster. And there was a guy who did it. And I'm not trying to say doing steroids is right. Obviously, Ted and I, we are naturally this
naturally
small.
Ripped.
Right. But he said the people who roid rage, steroids are only going to make you a heightened version of whoever you are. They're already jackasses. Like those guys that roid rage already had rage in them. And the steroids obviously amped it up. But like he's like, I've been doing steroids and I'm fine. I don't roid rage ever because I'm just a good guy. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it kind of lends well to what you're saying. If you're messed up in the head and you're doing acid, you might do something that intensifies how messed up in the head you are.
Yeah, and then the other theory I've heard, I mean, look, there's a good chance he just took some drugs, lost his mind, and ran into the fire.
Right.
But I got to explain to people, when you're there on Saturday night watching the man burn, I mean, there is, you are so far away from the man, because they have this giant circle full of people swinging fire and stuff, and fire dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Black Rock City, like, cops, like the Burning Man police, they're around. There's the actual police. They make a ring. And then there's rings of firemen and fire trucks. So, like,
jeez, I thought, like, you were right up on that thing.
No, dude. We had to be at least 100 yards away from the man. Probably farther.
Wow.
So, I mean,
so, like, a whole football field away from the Burning Man.
So, that's what I'm saying. How he got in that close and dodged everybody. Then the other theory I heard was that he was messed up. And he was just running around, and then he got scared when the cops were chasing him and the firemen.
It could happen.
And, like, maybe tripped. Like, because there's been people, like, 10 years ago, there was these stories about people jumping on the man after it had fallen over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that out of, but I don't know. I mean, if he went in there just to do something crazy and then fell, I mean, it's also the biggest massive fire I've ever seen in my life.
That's insane. I didn't know that you were that far away from the actual structure of the Burning Man.
Right, you can go in there all week long and because it's a massive structure. But on Burn Night, man, they set up a large perimeter.
Yeah, because in the story it says, this guy's 41 years old. He broke through a safety barrier and dove into the flames on Saturday night. Like, that makes it sound like there's just like, I mean, I'm not picturing what you just described. I'm glad that you described that because I'm picturing a safety barrier. It's like something that someone can hurdle over. You know what I mean? Nothing special.
No, I mean, there's physically a ton of people there.
Well, then Skrillex is in the news because he just got back from there as well. And they were asking him, hey, how do you think Burning Man would be affected after that guy died? And he said that, obviously it's tragic. Skrillex is not going to be like, whoa, whatever, man. But he said it's a lawless affair there, and that's what's the beauty of it. And people have the ability to freely express themselves. And it's not the first time that someone's jumped in the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that, but that wouldn't shock me.
That's just crazy.
Well, I mean, that is kind of the fun, right? Like, you get to ride your bike, you get to walk around, like, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I climbed on stuff there that generally I never would do, but it just, and there was
other. Now there's a restraining order against you for that. No, yeah, I'm
but there's other stuff, too, that I didn't climb on because I just, you know, whether I was altered or not, there's just that part of your brain that goes, physically, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It is lawless. You got to rule yourself and take precautions.
Have you thought about that lady that we met at the bar before the Belltown block party? Don't you wish you could kind of get a hold of that chick and find out how Burning Man went her? Because if anyone listened, I think it was last week that we talked about it, or the week before, this woman was fully not prepared for what Burning Man was going to be. And I would love to talk to her to see, did she acclimate? Or did she just go down, bad choice of term, but go down in flames?
I don't know. Did they stay the whole week?
Right.
Did they just say the hell with it and leave?
Or after one day, she realized that her kiddie pool was not going to have clean water in it, and she said, I'm out of here. Or did something happen, and did it become a moment in her life that maybe she'll walk away from as a better human being because she was forced to change the way that she thought?
I think that's probably what happened.
You think?
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's part of the beauty of Burning Man, too, is that, like, I'm telling you, if you go year after year, I'm sure you probably get a little more used to it. But by Wednesday or Thursday, like, you mentally are breaking down. Like, you're living in the desert. It makes no sense. Human beings aren't supposed to be there, man.
And you chose to do this.
And you chose to do
this. For fun.
I used a large chunk of my vacation for the year to go down here for fun.
Right.
To survive in a desert and build structures.
And like, a good chunk of your money, I would imagine.
Oh, my God. It was so expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right, like that's what I'm saying. Like, trust me, Thursday morning I was ready to be like, Cobb, we need to leave.
It's time to go home.
Right. And he kinda calmed me back down.
I was like, with his furry jacket.
This sounds so bad. I think that was like the morning at like noon. We popped the pour out of the vodka. We were like, I don't know what to do. Let's have some drinks and figure this out.
Let's get drunk and we'll determine if we want to stay or not.
Yes. That sounds terrible. I'm sorry, but it's a different place.
Dude, it's funny because I threw this on here because I saw it on like, through work, we get these prep services. They'll send us fun audio clips. And they'll and they'll grab these funny stand-up comedy routines or just funny stories from comics, whatever it may be. And this one, when I was pulling down all that story about Burning Man, and I knew we'd probably end up talking a little bit about acid because that's my, that would be, I'm no detective.
Your fear.
But I'm assuming that this guy...
Sorry, I was like, is that your fear if you go to Burning Man, you'll do acid right into a fire?
Someone's going
to
drip some acid into my tongue and I won't know it. And then next thing you know, I'm in the fire hugging the Burning Man.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Norm MacDonald, he did a whole thing on Letterman a few years ago about LSD. I haven't heard it yet, but I was like, oh man, this would be perfect for the Megacast because it seems like we talk about random hallucinogenic things.
And all right.
Let's hear what Norm MacDonald has to say about LSD.
Thanks, guys. Listen, I don't want to brag or anything, but me and Oprah are making the same money tonight. But the show has loosened up considerably. I noticed I was watching Oprah and Dave talking about weed and booze. I don't do either of those. The hardest drug I ever did, LSD.
Can you imagine doing LSD with Norm MacDonald?
No. Honestly, I think he would be annoying.
I remember as a kid, I was like 16, and I remember they warned me. They said, hey, you got to be careful with that LSD on account of you can get a flashback. 10 years can go by, 20 years, 30 years, and a flashback will happen. So I thought, hey, that seems like a good deal. You know, You tell me I buy a drug for $5, I eat it, I get high, and then 20 years later I get high again?
That does make good sense.
Yeah.
Fiscally.
That's not the point. I like to stretch my drug dollar. The point is this. 10 years have passed, 20 years have passed, 30 years have passed, and no flashbacks. What a jip that turned out to be. Just more horse by the big acid companies. That's all it is.
That's pretty funny, dude.
That is great. All right, well, we should probably get out of here. I know you got work to do, so let's get 10 more push-ups for the Mega family. As always, thank you for listening to this. If you made it through this podcast, congratulations.
Yeah, and come see the new original Saturday, man. Red Festival. It's going to be a fun day. Drink some beers. See some clowns, belly dancers,
people,
freaks,
aerialists that are serving drinks, which that part I'm really excited to see what that means.
Yeah, and it's a Saturday.
Yeah,
drink some beers.
Yeah. Kingdom Claw.
Yeah,
see
man.
What's up. Get some mega hugs.
Get some mega hugs.
New originals go on around 3:20 in the afternoon. So if you're trying to find Ted and I, that'd be the perfect time to find us because we'll both be up on stage and then probably milling about afterwards as well and before as well.
Yeah, right, because the second half of the set doesn't involve us.
No. So while they're playing their music, we'll come out and give mega hugs.
Yeah.
So wear your MegaCast shirt if you have one. I'm not buying you drinks. We're both broke right now.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
Yeah, times are tough in the summer.
Yeah, I paid like $15 for a beer at the Gorge.
Yeah, dude. We never even talked about Guns N' Roses.
Not only that, dude, I bought this really, it's a 24-ounce can. They're super expensive.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of sat it there forever and forgot about it. By the time I went to drink it again, I was just like, oh, God, this is so warm.
Bro, we had some friends that got us into some like the Cliff House or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, in return for the favor, I was like, oh, I'll buy you all drinks. Our buddy's like, you don't need to do that. I'm like, no, I'll get you guys all drinks. There's like four of us total, right? He's like, nah, dude, you don't need to do that. It's too much money. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Four drinks, four doubles, whatever it weighs.
It's like $80, $60?
$72 for four drinks.
Whew, I hope you enjoyed it.
It's all right. It's a vodka tonic, man. $72? Shut the F up.
Right?
I'm going to go on Twitter and tweet at them. I'm angry, positive guy.
Angry, positive guy.
All right, let's get out of here.
I'm positively angry.
Wait, wrong song. I wanted to surprise Ted. All right, let's get into this one.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter at the MegaCast.
It's a reunion, Steve.
Let's do this, pork and bean style. See you at Red Festival.
Yeah, man. We'll see you there.
This Saturday. Go to KISW.com to get tickets. $15. Enumclaw.
Yeah. Backyard Junkyard Band. Get into go-go.